This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, May 6th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. If you've ever ghosted your friends, you probably got an earful, maybe some dirty looks. But being a no-show for a service appointment, that could cost you actual money.
These fees are a new solution to an old problem. If you could think back to a few decades ago, if a barber had a client not show up, it would have taken a lot of effort on his part to track that person down, and then it would be an awkward confrontation to recoup whatever he perceives as the value of his time. But now it's as easy as hitting a button.
Our personal finance reporter, Imani Moiz, will be here to talk about late and no-show fees and how you can wiggle out of them after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELFT. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit claconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
More businesses are charging customers fees for arriving late or not showing up at all. Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Imani Moiz joins me. Imani, what types of businesses are charging these fees?
Really any type of consumer service. So whether that be a hair salon, a nail tech, cleaning service, tutor, it's any one-to-one relationship or anyone that's providing you a service could potentially charge you a fee these days.
When do these fees become so widespread?
They really started to become more popular after COVID. That's when we saw a lot of small businesses go digital or transfer to digital payment systems by necessity. And when they realized how easy it was to charge people a cancellation fee using these new systems, they figured they might as well keep it in place.
How much can these fees come out to?
It depends on the service. One of the standards is just if it's a true no call, no show. Sometimes these business owners can charge you the price of whatever service that you are booking, 100%. Sometimes it's 50%. One of these platforms, Square, they say they allow people to charge up to $500 in cancellation fees.
Oh, wow. That's a big fee.
But they do say that's rare. The average cancellation fee is closer to $50.
Why do businesses feel they need to charge people a fee?
These fees are a new solution to an old problem. If you could think back to a few decades ago, if a barber had a client not show up, it would have taken a lot of effort on his part to track that person down, and then it would be an awkward confrontation to recoup whatever he perceives as the value of his time. But now it's as easy as hitting a button. Because so much of that friction has been taken away with the fees, that's why we're seeing them become more popular.
Do merchants have to spell out the potential for a late or no-show fee to consumers up front?
It's still a little bit of the wild, wild west right now. Sometimes they'll say that there is a fee. They won't disclose how much the fee is. I do think when it comes to potential disputes, the businesses have more of a leg to stand on when their policies are stated clearly up front than as a surprise gotcha fee. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of standardization when it comes to cancellation policies.
Sometimes a customer hasn't actually flaked and just forgotten to go, but they might have had some sort of a last-minute emergency. Is there sometimes wiggle room to work out with the merchant?
There's always wiggle room. Most of the consumer advocates and even the platforms, if you read their terms of service, they'll recommend just reaching out to their service provider directly and try to work out some type of deal, whether that is a discount on a next session or a credit for another session instead of just a penalty. But it's always worth having that conversation.
I don't suppose it works the other way around. What happens if somebody has an appointment and the place they're going to cancels?
That's actually happened to me a few times. It's really frustrating. The mechanism that allows these fees to happen is when you have to put your card information down to either reserve an appointment or to reserve a table. And the reverse doesn't really exist for consumers. I talked to one kind of sassy consumer who said if a hairstylist ever did this, she'd either demand a discount on her next session or she would probably stop using them. But unfortunately, that kind of protection or insurance on our time doesn't work both ways.
A moment ago, you mentioned this could result in disputes between the business and the consumer. Do the businesses run the risk of any kind of a dispute over a fee tarnishing their image, like if that dispute were to spill out onto social media?
There's reputational damage, there's potential financial damage. Potential financial consequences are, as a consumer, if you make a payment with a debit or credit card, you always have the right to dispute that charge with your card issuer, whether that's a bank or just a credit card lender. For a merchant, that is a risk. If they charge you a fee and the consumer disputes that charge with the credit card company, it does look bad on them. Getting too many chargebacks as a merchant could force them to pay higher processing fees or even get them kicked off of the payment networks. And then there's also, you mentioned the reputational risk, which is, hey, I had a family emergency and you charged me a $100 cancellation fee. I don't think that's fair, and I'm going to put you on blast in social media.
If somebody feels they were assessed a fee unfairly, what can they do?
The first thing that you should do is reach out to the business owner and see if you can negotiate either a credit or a reduction in the fee. A lot of times they'll be more flexible if you offer to reschedule instead of an outright cancellation. But if that doesn't work, you always have the option to file a dispute with your credit card company. And when that happens, what the bank has to do is receive documentation from both sides, and then they'll make a decision as to whether or not the fee was fairly assessed. If you don't want to be put in this situation in the first place, the best thing that you could do is not put your card number down in the first place.
That's WSJ reporter Amani Moise. And that's it for your Money Briefing. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.